So the main focus of the Chabura, since we're learning Merubah, is going to be what distinguishes the Kenyan Kibush Melchama, the Kenyan that the victor acquires or gains in the spoils of war, from Kenyan Gezela. Okay, and we'll talk about it with respect to the Isser Gezela, and also with respect to the Chiyuve Hashava. So we'll cover a broad canvas. The concept of a Kenyan Kibush Melchama first appears in the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Zayin Beis. The Gemara there asked, how do we know that Ovdei Kochavim could gain rights, property rights, in other Ovdei Kochavim? So Gemara says, Kal v'chomer, if Yisroel could have kinyanim in the Ovdei Kochavim, then Kal v'chomer and Ovdei Kochavim could have kinyanim in Ovdei Kochavim. Okay, that's not our concern. The Gemara then says, Ve'ema hani mili bekaspa, aval b'chazaka lo. Maybe that's only if he actually purchases him. So Amar Papa, amon emoav tiaru b'sichon. So we know that there was an Isser for Klal Yisrael to attack Amon and Moav, but once Sichon conquered Amon and Moav, it became mutter for Klal Yisrael to attack them. So the Gemara is proving that you see that Amon and Moav lost their status to Sichon. So it used to be the kingdom of Amon and Moav, it was also for Klal Yisrael to attack them. Once Sichon conquered Amon and Moav, it was now Eretz Sichon, and it was mutter for Klal Yisrael to attack. So you see that the shame or the title of the kingdom transferred from Amon and Moav to Sichon. That's how you could prove that a guy gains kinyanim through melchama and a fellow guy. Ashkechan ovei kochavim, ovei kochavim, ovei kochavim Yisrael minalan. How do we know that if a guy is victorious over a Yisrael that he gains kinyanim in him? Tichsiv ayish mimenu shavi. So Rashi al Torah, I think Rashi here says, the fact that the Torah calls the captive a shavi proves that the victor gained kinyanim in him. Tosus here points out that even when the Gemara speaks about chazaka, the kinyan chazaka, we're referring to a kinyan ayidei kibush mochama. So you can see Tosus here is explicit. Tzarech lefarish tohacha b'chezka shel kibush mochama ayri. So don't think we're dealing with the normal concept of a chazaka. We're dealing with a new category of kibush mochama. And Tosus points out further in Gittin Lamed Chesamid Aleph. Amon emoav tiru b'sichon. Ki heichi dekanu artzam b'chazaka. Kanu nami gufam b'chazaka. The Gemara only proved that Sichon gained kinyanim chora on the land. Right, the kingdom became Eretz Sichon. So it says, oh, it's a Kal v'chomer. If you could gain kinyanim in the land, or it's, at least it's an analog, kanu nami gufam b'chazaka. So you go, the Gemara proves land, and Tosafot says, oh, it's a natural extension to gaining kinyanim in their persons. And the Rishonim, I haven't seen any Rishonim who disagree with the next extension, the Rishonim pe'echad seem to assume that just like you gain kinyanim in their person, you also gain kinyanim in their property. So the Taj Beis, for example, says this in several places. Because he quotes our Gemara. Says, V'im gufo shel Yisrael nikne b'shvi mamono lo kol shekein. And all the other Rishonim operate this assumption as well. Chayr Misvara, there's room to Mechalik and say, maybe you have dafka kinyanim in their land and persons, but we'll talk about this maybe later, but not in their metaltalin. But here they say no. The Gemara says land. Tosa says, hu adin for their person. And Taj Beis says, hu adin for mamona. Good? So this Gemara establishes that through Kibush Melchama, the title of land, persons, and L'chora property transferred to the victor. There's another Gemara in Sanhedrin which seems to establish this idea as well. The Gemara there quotes the Pasuk, the Nevuah of Yeshaya, that Lasid Lavo, Klal Yisrael will be victorious over Sancheirev, and it says that you'll gather the spoils from Sancheirev like the way a grasshoppers descend upon their food. And it compares the grasshoppers descending on the spoils like roaring rivers crashing down. So the Gemara then in Sanhedrin darshins this pasuk and says that Klal Yisrael or Mesupuk, are we allowed to keep the spoils that will conquer from Sancheirev La'asid Lavo? And the Gemara says in the second line here at the bottom, Sanhedrin Sayyidal and Beis, V'halo mamon aseres ha-shvatim me'urav bo. How could we take the spoils when we conquer Sancheirev? Didn't he take the Aseres HaShvatim? And we despoil Sancheirev, we're also stealing from members of Klal Yisrael. So Amar Lahan, Kimeshek Gavim Shokek Bo, Ma Gavim gave him Halalu Malin Asa'adam Mitumal Etara, Af Mamonim Shal Yisrael, Kivan Shenafal Biyad Goyim, Miyad Tiher. And a lot of Rishonim, and the Aruch especially, has the Girsa Kidra Papa, Damara Papa, Amon Moav Tera B'Sicha. So if you have that Girsa, it's in parentheses in our Gemaras. The Gemara is directly making the analogy to the Gemara in Gittin that Amon Moav Tir B'Sichon to prove that through Melchama you gain Kinyanim. And even though the Gemara in Gittin only uses that for Akum to an Akum, if the Gemara in Sanhedrin is invoking this for the case of Sancheir to Aseres HaShvatim, then Amun Mav Tira B'Sichon also works as the Makar for an Akum B'Yisrael. Okay, so we have two Gemaras that seem to establish this principle. But now the Shaila becomes, Hagam, that we know that the victor is Kone through Kibush Mechama, what's the principle through which the title passes? What's the principle through which we'll say that halachically the victor has the right to own the spoils? The Gemara just establishes that it's so. Right, we know Amon Moav Tir B'Sichon V'Yishmi Menushevi Ma Gavim Halalu. But what's the halachic basis for the transfer of title? So Rashi in Gittin, this is the page 2. And by the way, Rashi in Sanhedrin on Sadi Dalet says that, right, V'ikam mamon aseres ha-shvatim urabo, Rashi is di'ikam yishum gezel. Right, shouldn't this be gezel? And the Gemara says, no, it's not gezel because of the Gzer Sakashiv gave him halalu. So somehow you see that Kibush Mochama is solving the problem, why isn't this gezel? Okay, so we'll discuss that immediately. So why isn't this gezel? So Rashi in Gittin Lamechasim at Aleph says, B'chazaka, Kigon shavoy shehichzik bo, v'kna'o b'chezkash yiyush kishehefkeiro rabo kishenis yayish haimenu. So Rashi, and then the next Rashi, Amon Ov Tir B'Sichon, says Amon Ov Kuchavim, etc. Kivon de'afkere Yisrael b'yiyush konali Ov Kuchavim b'chazaka. So Rashi is assuming that there's a kinyan yiyush over here. Okay, so there are two forms of kinyan yiyush, l'chor. There's yiyush da'aveda, and there's also yiyush de'gzela. So which yiyush is Rashi operating with? Now, the Gemara in Gittin says that the Shavoi, the victor, he gains title in the spoil. Okay, so the Chor, there's no, it's the mere seizing of the property which gives him title. You don't need some other Shinoi Rishus or some Shinoi in the Gufa person. And so the Gemara doesn't indicate that there's anything more than the Tfisa going on. Rashi says, oh, there's also Yish. But I think the presumption here is that it's not talking about Yish Digzela, because the Gemara talks about the Shavai himself gaining title in the spoils of war. And we'll look here in the Shudma Ram Chelik Dalitz Simin Tuf Resh Tes. The Maram is also commenting on these Gemaras. Someone asked him, some sort of crusade or pogrom, and then the next day, you know, the one Jew finds his svarim in another Jew's home. Right, so how'd that happen? So Ruven shehekiru svar biyad Shimon shenigzlu lo biyom hagzera v'no de lakosh egzalim v'gnavim. So everybody knew that the svarim were stolen in this crusade, and then l'chor, this other Jew bought it from the spoilers, from the crusaders. So the Maram says, and the Shoal already knew this, that of course you have to give them back for free, because it's like being kone from a ganav mefursim. So you have to give them back for free to the person who was stole from. But then the Shoal said, "Aye, what about that Gemara in Sanhedrin that said Mamonim Sheisol Kivin Shenafal Biyad Goy Miyad Tiher?" So he says, "Okay, so first answer is Kibush Mochama Shaini, doesn't explain that, but Veod underline section Yeshlomar Didami LaAveda Sheshatva Nahar." That Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Dalid, is like Aveda Sheshatva Nahar. Tafilu Bidavar Sheyesh Bosim in Miyai Shachanami Sancherev Labar Ukme Bedinahu. So there's Yish because no one's going to put Sancherev on trial. Right? Maybe you could bring him to The Hague, but it's not clear if that's going to do much for him. So it's like Aveda Sheshatva Nahar. Now, unless you want to say that he's just using this in conjunction with Shinei Rishus or something else, the Chora he means that it's Yish De Aveda. And the case of the Shodidim, the case of Muhammad, is a case of Aveda Sheshatva Nahar. No? I think that's the simplest reading of the Maram. Yeah, we're in agreement? The Marsha has a similar stance also, commenting directly in that Gemara in Sanhedrin Tzadi Dalid. Amar Leib, Halo, Maman Asar Sashvatim Mu'ura Bo, V'anu Tzrichim Lo'osu Ha'mu'ura V'lachachzir Aveda Libaleha, and don't you Machzir Aveda, so you see, he's not calling it a Gzela, it's Aveda. And no, he says in the last line, we didn't use bailim kedin amatzel min anar min agayish ein tzarech lahachzir. So again, he's speaking about it in terms of aveda sheshatva nahar.
Although the first reason he calls it hachzir aveda labaleim here might just be because they didn't steal from it directly. say the first, the other one, Maram, is comparing it in the Maskalva. Right? Here, the Marsha is saying that it's La'aser, to begin with, isn't this the case where the Sanherib people took the Jewish
right.
money and then they conquered the. So, from their point of view, you could look at it as.
There's Shina. From whose point?
From the new conquest of Sanherib, from relative to the original Jewish money, that might be, that's an Aveda that you have an obligation to. Because they didn't steal directly from them.
Who the Sanherib people stole it from the Aseret HaShvatim.
Right.
And then.
Now you conquered the Sanherib.
So is that being master Gzela, which was stolen, or is that being master Aveda?
So from what Marshon they have in mind is that from a Jewish perspective, you know, that's like an Aveda. In other words, you as a Jew now are encountering something which is an Aveda for the other Jew. The Maram is saying more, because he's saying that, he's trying to explain why.
I'd ask which Maram, but Mordechai is not here, so we don't have to clarify.
Either way, it might probably be the same answer. Right? So the Maram, I think, is characterizing it as Yish of Aveda, even in the mechanism of why you don't have to give it back. I'm just saying the Marsha is asking, how come this isn't Yish of Aveda that you do have to give back?
Because the Klai Yisrael are saying, Alo Momen Asar Sashvatim Urabo, i.e. Aveda. So Rashi said it's Gzela. The Marsha.
Right, I'm just saying the Marsha is in the answer saying you don't have to give back because it's Yeush.
Kedina Matam and Anar.
Is that Yeush of Aveda or Yeush of Zayla?
So I think he's saying because the Shilas isn't a Chiva Shavas Aveda. He's saying no, there's Yeush.
But
right.
I'm saying which
Shat Vanar.
I'm just pointing out that the Maram is stronger because you could interpret that the Marsha's comment of Aveda Malayim is the key. You should give this back, Bitoras Aveda Sisra.
And that switches the Maskana.
It's a different. Then he's saying no because there was Yeush from a Zela point of view in terms of the Sanherib people. So there's no.
I'm interpreting it. I think the simplest reading here to be Midin Aveda, okay, and Aveda Shishat Vanar. Let me just read one more lashon in the Achron Yad David. This is Rav David Friedman, Rav David Karliner, and he's a nice little piece on Kibush Milchama. He says here, "Have a kimo inyan milchama." Shemafkia legamri kinyan habailim mizeh hamamon venasa hefker gamor. V'chol adam yachal liskos bezek ezocha min hefker to have a kamo avuda mimenu mikol adam. So he's directly interpreting the case of kibush mochama as avuda mimenu mikol adam, which is seems to be a yish da aveda, the area.
In the Marashot Maskana, though, he does say, like,
I mean, Agayas.
Yeah, he says the Naram in Agayas. How does he know to compare that to unless he thinks it's a Yesh Naveda, like Maskana is it? I didn't get a chance to think about this previously. I think the way the Rambam brings this din of Matan and Naram Nagayas, there is our aura that he brings it before the mitzvah Rashat Naveda. So it's hard to figure out for the Rambam. It's almost like a Gezel Dika Yesh. And there's a Rashi again in the Sugya of Yesh and Tzamech Vav, which points to that. And it's
right.
Almost like, I wonder whether. I mean, on one level, you're uncovering something about being kibush, which is unique, as opposed to Gazo, but you may also be uncovering something about Matzah and Anar, that on some level, we don't look at Matzah and Anar like a classic Aveda to start with.
Right.
It's almost like any, and again, in the Hashvah that Marsha is doing, you put the two together, right? A Gaius woman and Anar, it's almost like there's a third category here. Neither Gazo nor Aveda.
Right.
But an overwhelming Yeush, which you know.
Yeah, that's definitely the way the Yad David. He puts all these things together. We'll talk about that a little later. Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's definitely room to say here that the Yeush that Rashi is speaking about in the Gemara and Gittin is the Yeush Daveda. The Pnei Yeshua assumes that way in reading Rashi, top of page 3. He says it's a Pella because if anything, this should be a paradigmatic case of Bisura Asal Yade. Right, and the Gemara and Meruba said that. Right, Yush might work by Aveda, but it's not going to work b'chti for Gzela, because Bisura also Yade. So how could Rashi just speak about Yush without explicating anything further? How could you say it's a Yush to Aveda? So I think one way of defending Rashi here is we have to ask, when would the Yush occur for Kibush Mochama? Are you miyayish when the Shodim actually come into your home and they steal the Neches and they walk off it? That's when the Yush happens? Or does the real Yiyush happen when they break through the gates of the city? When they start invading the city, you're Miyayish, because you know that they're going to take over the town and everyone's going to have to run away and they're going to enslave everybody. So what's really happening is that there's Yiyush that's kodem to the Tfisas HaNechasim. So it's not Bisura Asal Yadeh. Or to put it in a different, it's Aveda Sheshat Fanar, because Mali, whether Hurricane Sandy is bringing the Atlantic into your basement, Mali, whether the invading army is swarming into your city, right? It's the conditions of milchama that create conditions of chaos of Yiyush, and that's kaveda. The fact that they happen to take it afterwards is a separate event. So chor, that's if you want to say that Rashi, you're saying it's Yiyush Taveda, and read these the Marsha and the Maram as Yiyush Taveda, you'd say that the conditions of milchama create a situation of shatvanar. The fact that they take it later is not Bisura Asal Yadeh. Yeah. That's the first suggestion. Everyone looks very uncomfortable, but no one's saying anything.
Is there anything why you want to say it's more of an Aveda than it's easier to be considered an Aveda than it's in Gozal?
But then why isn't this Bisura Asal Yadeh and then you should Yish plus something else?
That and Bibu Shuiga very much.
Is there a reason? I'm not denying that there could be, I think as Ariel is pointing out, that there's conceptual overlap between the cases of Aveda and Gzela, and maybe in some particular cases they merge into the same thing. Is that what you're asking?
No. I'm asking, Lechor, the reason why something is not Gozal is because it's a Kesara and it's both last time. It came to a Kenyan on it, like, never really leaves your shots. So I'm asking, in Aveda, one could argue the case that also never really leaves your shots.
I mean, it never leaves the Rishos Bailim?
Question, right?
But,
yeah.
Can be
back
to
Shem Aveda
as a double
Shem Aveda.
But here would be.
That's a real Aveda once it already leaves your. Here it's the same problem that Zayla has, you would think Aveda would have also.
I mean, you're saying it's not sufficient to say that the Yush happens when they break through the city doors. You have to say that there's some Siluk or Rishus.
Your answer you just brought up right now, you'd make it stronger because nothing happened at all to the land before. Everything is completely on the outside. The army is coming in right now. They didn't touch your land yet. They didn't touch your property at all.
Right.
They're asking in terms of Karka, the same reason that Karka is in Exelas, you could have argued that it's not in Aveda.
There's no shame Aveda yet. Right.
That's kind of what, getting back to Noah. So that's what Chaim was saying about why there's the difference between Yish Avada and Yish Karka.
Yeah. So you're saying we'll need something stronger than Yish Aveda, probably. Because you can't call this Aveda yet.
I think the reason why you want to say Aveda is not to say look for this type of reason. I'm asking why you're assuming it's easier to be called an Aveda, exactly.
I don't know if it's easier. I'm just trying to say what's the mechanism through which. Right, I'm saying what's the mechanism? Rashi says Yush. Is he talking about Yush to Aveda, Yush to Gzela? He doesn't speak about Shina Rishus or Shina Kone. So he just means Yush Bichti. And Yush Bichti is Yush to Aveda. That's a. And that explains why it's not Bisura Asli Yada.
Getting back to the Marsha for a second, just that in that case, it would be more also an Aveda in terms of the Teir Asli Yada, because vis-a-vis the Yisrael, it's Avud and Teir Asli Yada. Just vis-a-vis the Nakhli, then it's not.
Right.
Possibly a reason to be the Chalik. Forget about what the Marsha meant to Maskud or whatever. That would just be an easier case of Yush Aveda.
Yeah. Okay, so the first mahalak is to say it's not Gzela because it's really Yish Daveda, and the Yish precedes the Bisur Asal Yadeh. Other Rishonim disagree. The Ramban in Gittin Lamed Zayin and Beis quotes the Ravid. The Ravid says, Koshli Tuva, I don't really understand what's going on in the Gemara because here it says that the victor sees a person as an Eved. He says, I don't understand. If, let's say this Eved takes the captive to Bezdin. He stole me in war. You think the Bezdin's going to enforce the victor's property rights in the Eved? Of course not. So if he takes him to Bezdin, Bezdin's not going to enforce him. And if he runs away, you think Bezdin's going to go track down the Eved and bring him back to the victor? Impossible. So Yisrael, now Yisrael wants to come and buy the Eved from the victor. Of course, that's not a legitimate Kenyan, because not the kind of Kenyan that Bezdin would ever recognize. So he says, I don't understand what's going on in Gittin Lamed Zayin. This is the Ravid's Kasha. And he says, V'amar haravzal depruka dahach kusha lois bar ali shapir. The Ravid leaves the Pitzarachian. The Ramban says, Tamani al Ravid. So what's the Ravid talking about? Of course the victor could gain kinyonim, or property rights, in the Eved, just like we find that a Gazlan gains property rights in Igzela. So you can see the Ramban in the second paragraph. He says, what happened? You're like a Gazlan. The victor is like a Gazlan from the owner of the Eved. Right? Underlined section. L'rabe gazile v'konimine biyusha. Right? It's like you're stealing from the owner. L'maze dome l'gozlas chavero behem okelim sh'okone biyushinami b'shini Hashem v'akona mimenu k'konami b'aylam arishonim. So how does the case of Kibush Mochama works? It works ke'ein, or ke, yush digzela. So that the Ramban says. Now, it's interesting that the Ramban here says that you're kone b'yush inami b'shinu Hashem. Why does the Ramban, it should be yush and shinu shush, unless he's hedging whether yush b'chti is kone in general. Right, so why does the Ramban say yush inami b'shinu Hashem? The Meiri also quotes the Ravitz Kasha. He says, I don't understand the Ravitz Kasha b'chlal. Look at the base of Bechira after the three dots. She'af derech gezela kna'o b'yiyush. And moreover, v'damim hu chayiv lo. Miri says, in cases of Kibush Mochama, it's like gezela. And since it's like gezela, the victor is chayiv to reimburse the loser for his property. V'damim hu chayiv lo. Maybe you made a kinyan on the actual chayfetz, but you're chayiv to reimburse him b'tashlumen like every gazlan. And it says like the Ramban, ha'adon hu'an nigzal, it's as if the victor stole from the owner of the slave, u'midiyayish le'kanye. The Miri is explicit that Kibush Mochama will be like Zela, and because it's like Zela, there's a chiyuv hashavas, there's a chiyuv tashluma on the damim. Okay? So some Rishonim ask, well, how could this be a case of Zela? After all, the case in the Gemara is Amon Moav Tiru B'Sichon, L'chora, that's talking about karkos, and we know in kark and exelis. So, can't tell me that we're dealing with normal kinyane exela over here. Look at the Ramban in the middle of page 4. The Ramban even puts it explicitly. So the Ramban asks this question. Yekne Yeshua asks this question. He says, in the middle of the Ramban, in the middle of the page 4, V'imi shum she'avadim kekarkos tikshi le'nami hadar min amon mov tiyaru b'sichon. If the Ravid's saying you can't get property rights in the Eved because avadim einan nigzalim, so you have the same kasha on the main principle of the Gemara of amon mov tiyaru b'sichon. So elo liditu leslu karka in an exeles. Because the Ramban's first day is to say maybe this Gemara is a libid man damar that karka is nigzal. Because the Ramban, who first introduced that maybe Kibush Mochama is the same kinyan as kinyan Gzela, will defend that ad asof, and he'll say, look, this Gemara is really a libid man damar that holds karka is nigzal.
So then it could be according to the man damar, which could be kinyan.
Yeah, say that also, right? You'll say, oh, this Gemara works out with all the kinyan Gzela. Okay? He's also inami Mochama shiny, but the first day I was willing to entertain this is just pure Gzela. Most achronim don't like that suggestion. You have to finesse too many things to make the Gemara work out with regular Dine Gzela. So the Pnei Yeshua here suggests, well, maybe it's Gzela, like the Ramban and the Miri suggested, but this is a super strong form of Gzela that it triggers Nishtakei Hashem Abai L'mei HaKarka. Right, when the invading army comes and they push you out, so they've dislocated your connection with the land, Ad Kedei Kach, that now Yiyush will be sufficient to be Makne the Karkos. And he says the reason why karka in an exelus in general is because of kivan de karka becheskas balea va'aras le'olam omedes. That's true if you could retain some connection to the karka, but there's still a way of erasing your shame bailim. So through Mochama that dislocates you ad kedekach that your yish will be sufficient. So the Pnei Yeshua concedes that the Gemara in Gittin could be a case of gzela, but it's a traumatic gzela that triggers nishtakei hashem bailim, which is sufficient for Gzela Bikarkos. the Yad David offers a different explanation, but also acknowledging that the Gemara is classic Zela. And here you have some strong Lashonos. Look in the bottom of page 4. His Yisod is that Kibush Muhammad doesn't create a stronger Nishtakea Shem Bailim, but it creates a stronger Yush. And just usual Gzela Yush is not sufficient to be Machne Karkos, but the traumatic Yush of Kibush Muhammad will be sufficient to give away the Karka. So Vinirli, the Av Damim Ena Kovesh Mechuyiv Lahachzir, says, I think in Kibush Muhammad against the Meiri, you're not Chayev to reimburse the loser. The Yiyush Mesiyashim Mehanichbashim Tachas Kedude Elu Hashodidim have a Yiyush Gamur Shemafkia Koz Chush Yesh Labailim Bimamono. Saying, look, regular Gzela has a Chiyuv Tashlumin, but that's because the regular Yiyush of Gzela is so weak. Lu Yitzir, you had a really powerful Yiyush, then you're Meyayish also from the Tashlumin. Okay. The gazlan has no takana because you are miyayish from the tashlumin as well. And what's his proof that you have different levels of yish? He says, oh, from the fact that in Kibush Mochama, you can be miyayish from the karkos, even the manda amar karka in an exelis. Let me just find that. Yeah, well, look.
Explain that.
It's only kimatana ba'alma. De lo matzinu takana da shavas agzela, ela begezel miyad chaveru bederech chatifa ba'alma. He almost makes the cases of Tashlumin the exceptional cases of Gzela. Yeah, if you grab it from him. And he proves it. He says, oh, because you see that Shemafkia Gam Karkav Avadim is just Bailim. So if it's Mafkia Karkav Avadim, it's also going to be Mafkia the Chi of Tashlumin. Okay? So unlike the Pnei Yeshua, who argued that the reason why Karka isn't Gzelas in this case of Gezel is because of Nishtakei Hashem Bailim, here he's arguing it's because of the greater force of the Yish in Kibush Mochama.
So that seems to be a big debate of how to read the difference between the Yish of Aveda and the Yish of Gzela. So it might end up dovetailing the first thing he said, the idea that this is the Yish of Aveda.
This is all the degrees in
Dal
Shirim
and
Yish.
Why does Yish of Aveda not trigger Tashlumim, not trigger Dambim, and Yish of Gzela does? Right. So Pashtus is that this is part of the whole discussion of the how do you square Samachem and Aleph with the Gemara you could say that they have nothing to do with the level of Yeyush. It just has to do with the whenever you gozel something that triggers a separate key of Tashlumin, because there are two things that happen. You took the bag,
yeah,
subject to Yish. You also stole his value, and that's a Tashlumin. If you say that, then this doesn't make any sense, because it has nothing to do with the level of the game, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying the way the Ksos and others read the Ramban and Daf Kavav and Bavitzia is they think that Yeyush of Gzela and Yeyush of Aveda are two separate dinim of Yeyush, and that Yeyush of Gzela doesn't poter mitashlumim, and Yeyush of Aveda does. So even in the context of Gzela, if you have a Yeyush of Aveda, you're going to be poter mitashlumim. So this Yad David is assuming like that it's in the quality or the strength of the Yeyush that's Koveya, rather than the side point about how the dynamic of Zayla is different than that. That was what
right.
Was saying. But then that would end up in a way, I'm not saying it's not the same thing, but that could be very parallel to assuming that every case of Kibush Mahama is Yeyush of Aveda, and that's why there's no Tashlumin.
You held
that way.
Right. Yeah. Okay. A third way of tweaking the Gemara and Lamed Zayin to align it with regular Kinyanei Gzela, just regular Kinyanei Gzela plus something else, is the Marid in a Tshuva, where he just has a line where he says, oh, you don't have to worry about the shaila is whether yesh kinyan la'akam beretz Yisrael afkiya midei shvius. So he says, well, you don't have to worry that the Akum living there is chayiv and shvius. Why? Because either most goyim purchased the land that they lived on. Right, so Noachus goes against that Gemara in Sukkah a little bit. Right, so you could assume the guy bought the land legitimately, and therefore he's mafkia midei shvius. And oh, this is the last line of the Shid Marit. O min hamelech shekavash es haaretz the kibush have kinyan bidamim velo shehu gezel biyado. So he says, oh, or the guy bought it from a melech who was kovesh Eretz Yisrael, in which case he also has a legitimate right to it. Okay, we'll talk about this later. But the fact that he characterizes it as a kinyan bidamim seems to appeal to the Gemara in Sanhedrin of bidamim kaninu. Right, it sounds like the fact that he was willing to, you know, matir atzma lemisa in securing his, you know, his property over here, so that gives him like full property rights in it. So you might say, really, it's gezela, but it's the gezela of the kimle, which knocks out his chiyuve tashlumin or any chiyuva shava. So, it could be that it's reading too much into bedamim, right? The kibush have a kinyan bedamim, but lechora that's what he's alluding to. Yeah.
So why should
the
second?
That means Omen Amelach Shekavash is ours to kibush have a kinyan bidamim. It means like purchase.
Kibush, kibush yeah. Is the same status.
I thought here it means damim as.
What?
Yeah.
In terms of effectiveness of kinyan.
Like, you know, rolling in the canons is like pulling out the briefcase of cash. That's I read that as Kenyan Bedamim.
It means that it's as if you bought it. It's not really describing anything. How does it know that it's as if you bought it?
What do you mean?
How does it know? How does the Marit know that if you conquer something, it's as if you bought it? Because he's like taking that for granted.
Well,
where does he get that from?
The Kibush have a Kenyan Bedamim? You think it's like a payment?
No, he's just saying that it's a valid Kenyan.
I mean, it's like a Kenyan Bedamim. This is just strange. Why there are many valid kinyanim that aren't bidamim?
Does he quote Sanhedrin?
He doesn't cite anything. No.
Oh.
No.
And you're assuming that.
Yeah, kinyan bidamim is alluding to right. Some achronim say.
Your ha'ara is true. It's the same word.
Again, if he really means kinyan bidamim like Sanhedrin, though, then you really have to give back. And you only get to keep the things that you destroy.
Unless they're two, he's also
right. Because everything that's the end, we pass the
line. I thought, could would be mechalik to make between karka and kaplan in this?
Yeah.
Meaning, in part, if you use a kind of this, that is Africa, meaning, I was wondering already before, what's in the Andavid. So, again, we don't know we can pass water to this cabinet, but we can do. But what would you say about a kinyan on the. About doing another kinyan after this yeish has occurred. If it's very strong yeish, he calls it kehefker, but does the kodesh automatically believe, or does he then have to make a kinyan to be mischazik then? Meaning, this is not a gezel. As kol's man, do you think that the kinyan doesn't occur through a maisa gezel, so what allows you to have kinyan?
Right.
So once you ask that question, then you plug it in here in the ma'arit, and you have, I think, maybe the answer to Rebbe's horror about the Koran Sanhedrin. Even though generally, ironically, because it starts from Karkos, so Karkos aren't nitan to the Kenyan Gezel, but maybe they are nitan to this is what would happen. What that same thing, which is Afkia, Karka from Kenyan Daman, it would also ironically allow it to be nicknamed through Bedam Kenyan.
You have to say any Metalfun that you get.
No, but those. But why does one get the Metalfun? Meaning, number one, the Marid has a right to disagree that you don't get Metalfun. They weren't that foolish. But also, even if you would agree, perhaps the reason why you get it is through like a state of Kenyan that happens because of the Kenyan on the Karka. There's some relationship between the tatva and the karka, not directly. Meaning, it's true. A kinyan kibush, which occurred only on the tatva. Meaning, he's not mechuyav to have such a maskana. If you want him to have such a maskana, then he's talking about karkos purely here. He's speaking about a din of being.
He's talking about kinyan. But that's because. The application is the famous.
It's
very true about Shemitah.
Because he's interested in Shemitah, but the point is that might be sufficient. He might tell you about Metatlon that the reason why the Tosfos come to the same conclusion is for totally different mechanisms. If you believe Itamar's reading, this is Kaninu B'damim, B'damim Kaninu, so then you say that Legavi Karkos, B'damim Kaninu, has a better Chalos, and Legavi Metatlon Taki, you use some other mechanism as described by.
You've
already had 8 or 9
Rishonim
before.
I mean, you have similar things by Karkan Abadim, which mean the Gezlakum, the idea that the Kula of Karka, or Abadim, ends up being a Chodra when it comes to Tashlumin and so on.
Right.
It's a Kam with the Sigas, for example.
So that
leitmotif in his Karka Abadim and Shtaros topic.
Right, I think if you plug that in, then you have an answer.
I'm just bringing out that you have to relate to that.
Right.
If that's really what he's referring to, which is sensational.
Yeah.
But it is, but it doesn't quote it explicitly.
No, I don't think so. He could always put in parentheses. Sanhedrin.
We could.
I
or the Babylon people could.
He's driving in. So, good. So, just to review. So, one possibility is that Kibush Mechama is different from Gzela because really Aveda. Second possibility is to say it is Gzela, and the Ramban defended to say it's Mamish Gzela, and this Gemara is Alibid Mandam Rakarkin and Gzeles. Or you have three Mahalchim to say it's Gzela, but with a tweak. Tnei Yeshua, it's Gzela with a tweak of Nishtakeh Hashem Bailim. Yadavid say it's Gzela with a tweak of Super Yush. And the Marit to say it's Gzela with a tweak of Matir Atzma Lemisa, which is kind of a Kimle, which patters him from Chive Hashava. A third mahalach, so not aveda, not gzela, is to say that kibush mechama actually triggers a kind of voluntary transfer of karka. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar seems to suggest, says vayesh mimenu shevi, that's quoting the Gemara on Gin Lamed Zayin, Omer Rebbe, af al pi she'en a karka nigzeles, al yidei shehu nitan lahariga, v'derech mechama kimo toluva v'zavinhu v'zvine zvine. So it sounds like he's saying the fact that you're under such pressure of, you're going to be killed, so that pressure of being killed boomerangs into Das Makne, like, take my land.
Right? It's not give me your land or I'll kill you, it's give me your land and I'll kill you.
No, he's saying that you want to get out of there as soon as possible. So you're Makne the Karkos, take it and I'll leave. I think that's what he has in mind. Much of the done when my car got towed last year, and you're waiting in line at the pound to get your car back. And you get there, they're like, it's like $5,000 to be poda your car. And you write the check, and you're just so happy to get your car back that you have a super das machina. And every person, everyone writes the thank you so much. And they're just so happy to get out of there that they have extraordinary das machina. Now, Rabbeinu Tam in the last line here says, also, v'chol shivuya hanemra hilamaves, v'yaf bisha in an aseres mikamakom divir shuso hi. There's definitely some shibush here in the Sefer Yashar, but it sounds like he's saying that since the Kovesh has the right to kill you or leave you alive, so gamaru makni. I think that's the super das makni. It's a big chiddush to say that when you leave your land b'shas mochama, that boomerangs into das makni. That seems to be what Rabbeinu Tam is suggesting. It's midin tol yovi zavim zvini zvini. So this would be a third mahalach in explaining why kibush mochama is not like zela. It's not like zela because it's volitional. Yeah.
You're understanding yish as a psychological phenomenon.
Whoa. It's an existential postulate.
Ontological truth.
Oh. Yeah.
Axiom.
It's an ontological axiom. Probably would exist all the time. Maybe
I didn't hear what you said.
I said the lonely man of faith might not be so lonely if he didn't use words like ontological. I said if it's an ontological axiom, probably would apply all the time.
What was the question?
My question was your understanding Yush as a person's state of mind.
I wasn't planning on endorsing Yush as that, but
I'm saying because if you think that Yush is not like that, so then maybe some of these Mahalpim are really like the Yush Mahalpim are really much closer to the Adubid, or maybe not, sorry, I agree the Adubid is much closer to the Yush or the sacred Yush.
Yeah, you definitely could collapse. I don't know if I would say, I mean, the Yush translates into an affirmative Gamaru Makni. Hakadekach.
Is it even within Yush?
Rina Tam, it's not. He doesn't say Yush. I think Mordechai is saying maybe on some interpretations of Yush that
I'm
it's like Das Makne.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's necessarily identical
right.
to.
Yeah,
Tam.
I'm saying this is an extra step further. I agree that, you know, if you think Shem Bailos is Tali on Yush, then you could collapse the Yad David into the Pnei Yoshua. Right, because the more Yush you have, the more Nishtaka Hashem Bailos. Yeah, in a Chanami. Good. The Rashba in Gittin, he's the trailblazer in this sugya, and he says, look, we really have to all the evidence indicates that there's a new Kenyan, Kibush Milchama, which is not reducible to any previously existing Kenyan. I say it's not reducible to Yush Daveda, it's not just reducible to some variation of Gzela, nor is it Das Makne. So the Rashba's 3 points are A, that the Gemara doesn't mention Yush in the context of Kibush Milchama. The Gemara in Gittin doesn't mention Yush. Secondly, he says, look, the Gemara is talking about Karkos, and we know Ein Gzeila the Karkos, so don't tell me that it's Gzeila Karkos. And third, the Gemara talks about Avadim, and we know from the Gemara in Meruba, another Meruba connection, that a person is never Miyai Shalatzmo. So, don't tell me that you're Kohen of the Eved because he has Yish Shalatzmo. A person never has Yish on himself. Right? So he says, it must be that we're dealing with a new sui generis kinyan of Kibush Mochama. And he argues for all of these rayas, and he says that's the answer to the Ravid's questions. The Ravid says, how could you gain property rights in the property of war, in the spoils of war? He says, let's skip to the last line. Elavadai kida amran dekol. This is the middle of page 6. Dekol shalachal bechezkas mechama bein gufo bein mamono kno shatorah zichzalo. The Torah is mizaka you with whatever you seized in battle. So according to the Rashba, you don't need Yush at all, and it'll also be effective on Karkos. So let me just run through a few nafkamina, potential nafkamina. Not each one of these is worked out according to the Rashba himself, but a few important nafkamina of separating Kinyan Kibush Mochama from other Kinyanim. So obviously the first nafkamina is Yush. That's what the Rashba himself notes. The second nafkamina is Karkos. The third nafkamina, and you could say this is just a direct consequence of not requiring Yush, is that there's no chiyuv hashava labailam. Right? You're kona, you gain full property rights miyad in whatever you take the machama. So look, for example, at a tshuva of the Rambam, just to possibly bolster the position of the Rashba or some of its ramifications. So on page 6, the Rambam in Siman Reish Tesh was asked about Sefer Torah, which was Nivzaz from one of the Batei Knesses. So Shelem Ayomar Adonainu B'Davar Mishe Kanamin Abozin Sifrei Hekdesh. So a Jew bought Sifrei Torah from a bandit. Shehayu Shayachim L'Echam Nibatei Knesio Sheba'arim. So one of the shuls owned the Sefer Torah. Ha'im Kana Osam O Kofin Oso L'Hachziram. Does the purchaser gain Kinyanim, or does he have to return them? V'im kofin oso hanosan lo hamo shebehen kana im lav. Is he going to be reimbursed if he has to return the Sifrei Torah? V'ha'im yachziram lo'oso beis haknesses o lezulaso. Interesting having, you know. Does he have to return the Sefer Torah to that shul? Or could he return it to any shul? Okay. I think we'll discuss maybe that at the end of the chabura, what that havmina is. So Rambam says, atshuva imzu abiza nasa v'pkuda sultan. So if the melech endorsed the looting, hare kanehu ubat al din hektish. So then he acquired it. Afidu kli amikdash im nivzu bat la kedusha. So an amru bal pritzim v'chelua. We know that even if an army is mevazeh the beis amikdash, they are kone. Aval im nivzu shelo birshus sultan, yishava b'nikitas chefetz kamahotzi v'yitol v'yachar zeh sefer limkomo. So it sounds like the Rambam is saying, look, if it was endorsed by the melech, then And this is how the tshuva is sometimes interpreted. Then there's kinyan kibush mochama, and there's no chiyuv lahachzir. If it was just done by a band of robbers, then it's gzela, and there's a chiyuv lahachzir to the Beis HaKnesses. That's what it sounds, if you read the Rambam this way. It sounds like the Rambam saying, if it's gzela, then you have a chiyuv hashava. If it's not gzela, then there's no chiyuv hashava at all. And this is against the Meiri, who said, even in the case of kibush mochama, there is damim hu chayev lo, or just chayev to be master the mochama. So you see here already, it sounds like from the Rambam that it's the mere, right, the mere endorsement of the melech which makes it mochama.
Meaning, so if you have like a gorilla on.
The Pekudas Sultan, yeah, whoever the man in charge is.
And that creates the Rashba's new din.
Yeah, that's how the Rambam seems to have it. It wouldn't be the Rashba's new din if the Rambam is right. Holding that way. But, correct. And we'll see, it's such a contrast, because Yad David, for example, says, oh, Kibush Mechama is really any, like, scary band of robbers. Like, if they descend upon your car in the middle of the night, that's Kibush Mechama, because you're Miyayish, you want to get out of there. That's what Yad David says explicitly. For the Rambam, it's very different. It's the man in charge. It's the din in the melech. Right. Okay.
Again, this is an interesting case also, just going back
to the
form. Because Hektish, we'll get to, but also this is a case also where you're not talking about the kinyan of the kofshim.
A purchaser from them.
It's a purchaser from them, similar to the point again with the Marshal from before. There might be a difference, you know, between...
Right, but I think the Rambam does say Hare Kanehu, meaning the purchaser batal din hektish, unless he means Hare Kanehu the bozizim or kone legamri.
Right, I'm not sure. I'm saying it's an interesting case, because you might think that like that's more Atera Saliyado.
Right, but he does say in the case of Gzela then it's Kedin Makir Kelav Osvara Biaracher. That's a Gzela case.
Right,
so he does say that.
You could have
said
in this case this is because it's one
a little different.
Buying it from the bozizim in theory, it could be different.
From the bozizim themselves.
That could be still different than the goslin.
His status in the...
Yeah.
But even the Rashba is very clear that the victor himself gains full kinyanim in the chevetz.
Right.
Sorry, zichzola.
Because the Rashba, that is the point. It's the kovich is a maisa kinyan. For anybody who doesn't think that kovich is necessarily a maisa kinyan, we have to work with the other conventional kinyanim, the one step removed might help you being more in surah saliyado or not having a chiyuv tashlum because you didn't cause the loss.
Right.
And so on. So those that might ameliorate some of those questions if it's in one room.
Yeah. The Tajbeit explicitly... Yeah.
According to the Rambam, do you need to say that there's such a thing as kinfuha? Couldn't you say that it's just end al huzdiyin?
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. So the Taz Beitz in Chilik Beitz Simen Kuf Lamed Vav also had a similar shayla, and you'll see over here, Dani, how he interprets his Hagdar of Kibush Mechama, which is different from the Rambam and different from the Yad David. So the Taz Beitz is asked, Shalt al Ruvin shalach svarim b'safon echad me'ever liyam. So he sent svarim on a ship. V'safon ahu nilkad. So the ship was looted, pirate by pirates, and it was sold in another city. So how many times does somebody have Rias Lane Mispar? You only have Rias Lane Mispar when it doesn't make a difference. Shehu Shelo. Shimon said, I'll give it back to you if you reimburse me for what I paid for it. So the shaila is, in Reuven yachal kacha sifro kasher utoveya, v'am yitain lo kasher kenov, Reuven yichaveyu l'shimon lasos lo shvua, etc. So what is the Tajbe's answer? If the bozizim, if the pirates came from a Medina that was in a state of war with the Medina from which the Svarim came, then it's Kibush Mochama, and there's no Chiyuv L'Hachzir HaSefer. And he quotes the Gemara in Gittin. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I think the Tashbeit is the first to invoke the Gemara in Sanhedrin explicitly as Raya for Kibosh Mochama. And then the last line says, oh, but if the pirates came from the same country, then it has a din of Lishtim Mizuyin. Right, so whether it's Talayan, my Chabura, or Moshe's Chabura is Talayan, whether they came from Osa Machos or a different Machos. Okay. And Tashbeitz in the Hemshech explicitly quotes the Rashba. Okay, so you see for him that the Hagdar of Kibush Mochama were the robbers coming from a different Machos.
I just think it's so fascinating that they need to be coming from a Machos. Meaning, again, a guerrilla army. Meaning they're a guerrilla army from within the same
Malchus.
I
think it's just telling the Hagdar, are they a Malchus Bifnei Atzma, or are they...
ISIS.
Hey, that's right, are they...
So ISIS has carved out space for themselves, and
at this point, they don't have recognition.
Their boundaries
keep changing.
There's
no...
Right.
So they're just
a
more
settled... What defines... Civil War. Right, Civil War also. Civil War. Yeah, I think one of the questions I was thinking in Kibush Mochama is, could you... there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to have Kin Kibush Mochama between two Jews. Right, if like Machas Yisrael went towards Machas Yehuda, L'chor, that should be dependent on Kinyan Yigzeh. That's what I thought the Rashi's. Just because you might... In some of the cases, you might say Goyim... A goy to Yisrael have different dinim than Gzela, but I think you could make all these cases as two Yisraelim on both sides, one from Malchus Yisrael, one from Malchus Yehuda. No one speaks about that case explicitly that I've seen.
I guess
So according to the Rambam, it's all just Talion the Melech. According to the Tashbeit, it's all it could be one person as long as he's coming from a different Malchus, right?
But it has to be a bit of Malchus. Again, it can't be one person. It has to come from a Malchus, which is itself
representing
or at war with you. Right.
Exactly.
Correct.
So
the
Ramam plus.
Now,
he requires the
Malchus
plus coming from a different country
that's at war.
So the Ramam saying the Melech on his own citizens can do.
Right. I think the
Tashbeitz
would disagree
with
that.
The Tashbeitz
would disagree with that.
They
might
disagree
with
each other.
I mean, like, you're a guerrilla army.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, David would say that, but he just thinks it's super Yish. Right.
You would say that they disagree with each other.
That we'll see why in a minute. Presumably.
Even in terms of the Hagdara of what comes as Kibush.
That's the Rambam.
I think it's the head, it's the fact that it comes from the top. Right?
The Rambam would think that the Melech has to sponsor the particular
person
yeah.
in charge of whatever.
Right, whereas the Tashbeitz, as long as there are no diplomatic relations.
As long as these are two different cultures or two different
right.
groups.
That's right.
But the Rambam might disagree with that, and he might disagree with the fact that it just comes from the king, as long as it's not a cultural or
right.
a
right. Right. So, right. Right. Donnie, my father's saying that the Rambam would disagree with the Tashbeitz, because let's say the Melech doesn't sponsor the actual looting, but there's no diplomatic relations between countries, and then one pirate goes ahead from one country to the next. So according to Tashbeitz, that's Kibush. According to Rambam, if the Melech wasn't on board, then it can't be Kibush Mochama.
There's like a tacit acceptance
that,
like,
you know,
Spanish ships are going to be looting
people.
Whatever,
it's like
the other way around.
Right.
I think we found
Dani's Mada. So the Tashbeitz in another tshuva, a similar shaila, and here he explicitly quotes the Ravid. He quotes the Rashba. It's a new Kenyan. And it's what, he adds a nice diuk to this Yisod. So in the first Tshuva, he only quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin as using this principle. But in the second Tshuva, he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin and says, oh, mucha from that Gemara that you don't need Yish. Why? Skip here to page 8. He quotes that Gemara of Mamon Shei Yisrael, Kimon Shnafal Biad Ha'akum Miyad Tiher, the underlined section. Uvevadai ach below yish ka amar. Ti ilu biyish lo have amar miyad tiher. The Gemara said the moment it fell biyad goy, so it became mutter. So he said the Gemara wouldn't have said miyad if it was really tully on yish, which is a nice way of connecting to the Gemaras. The od iba yish afilu biyad yisrael namiti here. Ela below yish kamar mishum demolchama havazacha ba'ach below yish. Okay, so he also he explicitly endorses this tshuva of the Rashba, this position of the Rashba. So just, I brought these tshuvas in to show that the Rishonim here clearly assume that there's no chiyuv lahachzir when something is acquired through kibush mochama, even if there would be a chiyuv lahachzir if it was konan migazlan meforsam. Another interesting nafkamina you could ask is whether there should be lifnim mishuras hadin lahachzir when it comes from gezela. So the tshuva that Tashbeit's grandson, who also spoke about svarim that were stolen from a city b'shas mochama. He quotes the Rashba, he quotes his grandfather, the Tashbeitz. He realized that the Tashbeitz was Mechadish, the two extra rayos from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which he gives him credit for. And he says, you know, does it depend on Yish, does it not depend on Yish? He says, usually in Gezela, and he quotes a tshuva from Rav Shiragon, that it all depends on the minag amakom. And he says, the minag in my town is that whenever there's a Gezela, somebody would get up and be machriz in shul, Ploni lost this and this, Ploni was nigzal such and such. And the point was that to make it clear that there's lefnim yishuras adin for somebody to be machzir. He says, if that's the minog, then you have a chiv lefnim yishuras adin to be machzir. That's what Tashbeit says. He says, aye, what about kibush mochama? So just in the last, he says, so first he says, everything is totally on the minog amakom. When it comes to gzela, there's a minog lahachzir. So look at the last line on page 9 of that tshuva Tashbeit. Lefi minog zeh, afilu dvar machirim zulas svarim. Even, so a lot of Rishonim think there's no yish on svarim. So he's saying, but even things that there is yish, tzarech lahachzir lebailim, v'yitnu lo ma'ashahotzi, because of the minog to be machriz and to lefnim yishur asadin, so you have to give back everything if it's gzela. Ela shel inyan shvi lo re'isi minog b'mkomos elu v'lechein chazar inyanu l'shur asadin. He says, hagam, that there's a minog to return chafatzim anegzalim, it doesn't naturally extend to chafatzim that were taken through kibush mochama. So it's just interesting, he's not saying, oh, hu adin naturally will extend lefnim yishur asadin, and the minog is only l'inyan l'inyan gzela. Okay. So I don't think the raya here is so much that lefnim yishur sadin wouldn't apply to gzela as much as the nominal difference and the difference in shame between a minog that applies to gzela doesn't get extended to lefnim yishur to kinyan mochama. Another nafkamina would be, what is there an iser gezel b'shas mochama? Right, is there, I really want to say you have full kinyanim, but maybe that kinyan was also for you to seize the spoils in the first place. So the Ravid in the Bava Kama Kufid Gimel Mibes. So the Gemara there says, it's talking about Gzela Zakum. And the Gemara says, V'achalta es kol ha'amim, that bizman shehem, she'enam kvushim tachas yadcha, it's also to be gozlam. That's the Gemara in Bava Kama. So the Ravid there asked, V'hada amin hacha, v'l divri ha'kol gazlan atzer. The Gemara in Bava Kama says, Gezel Hakam Zasr, V'hasam b'sanhedrin armin an gana v'gazan v'chein yifas Torah b'Yisrael b'goy mutter. There's no ahu b'kibush mochama kamar. So the Gemara that says that Gezel Hakam is mutter is b'shas kibush mochama. Ke'ein yifas Torah, k'dechli v'chalta es kol ha'amnim v'darshina le'hocha b'zman shehim mesurim b'yadcha, k'lomar b'kibush mochama k'shayim sur makadosh baruch liyadcha. And the Rabbanu Shalom gives them to you b'mochama, then you get to keep their spoils. There's no Isser Gezel, but otherwise there is an Isser Gezel. That's the, so the rabbit at least seems told there's no Isser Gezel. B'shas Kibush Mochama.
You think this is the real, the regular din of Kibush Mochama, or this is just because of Yifas Tovar, so it's Kibush Mochama because she Yisrael Makosh Baruch Hu Yodah?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Lo Dibra Torah L'Kenegad Yitzar?
I'm saying, is this something like Hashgacha, this is like a separate din of Kibush Yisrael, or would this apply? I'm just asking.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it could go both ways. Definitely, the Yamshel Shlomo here says this should apply for any Mechames Yisrael, even Mechames for Shus. So it's lav davka Mechames Mitzvah.
But wouldn't apply
to what?
To Kibush in general, let's say a non-Jewish Kibush or whatever.
So you know, maybe Yimsuri Makadosh Baruch Hu Liyadam.
Meaning, is it a din in Kibush, or is this like a din in...
Yeah. So at one point I thought Karavina Talia. I thought that The Ravid here is talking about the basis of the Kinyan Kibush. The Kinyan Kibush works because Yom Shemakash Baruch Hu Liyata, the Bon Shalom, gave it to you.
You mean in general the Kinyan Kibush?
Yeah, that's why you're a Kona. That's why the Ravid means Zichso LaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But that wouldn't work for other Kibushes. That wouldn't work for the other directions.
No, but they're Bon Shalom.
Israel,
no, their Bon Shalom gives it. It's like, so.
You're understanding.
Also, Karavina Talia. Karavina Talia, and I was learning Shoftim, Yid Aleph. So when Amon and Moab, so we know that Amon and Moab tear b'sichon, then years later they have a grievance with Yiftach, right? And they say, "Oh, you stole our land." And he says, "What do you mean? Sichon conquered it from you, and I took it from Sichon." And look at this lashon. Halo es asher yorishcha kemosh elohecha oso sirash. V'eskal asher horish Hashem elokeinu mipanenu oso nirash. Like, we all get whatever our gods give us. So it just sounds that it was understood that what you see through Melchama was through Hashkacha, through the Hashkacha. But I think the reason why I don't think that anymore in the Ravid is because the Lashon HaGemara just seems to be V'chalta as Kol Amim Kishe, and V'chalta as Kol Amim Bizman Shehim Klushim Tachas Yadcha. And he just, the Ravid's using that as the Bizman Shehim Klushim Tachas Yadcha is when the Bar Shalom gave him to, not as the rationale for why it's that way.
I'm just wondering if it's also as important to Rabban Lachman.
Whether
this particular...
I mean, just for Mechamas Yisrael, because then... I mean, we don't hold by Kol Asher Yerushka Kamo Shel Gacha.
But we don't think it has this legal consequence of nothing.
You could say, somebody screamed out his Hashgacha, you could say, you know, there's general Hashgacha for which king has... I think there's like a Chuvas Agonim that's anonymous, that says that's why there's Din Malchus in general, because the Bona Shalom was man-made all these.
Just go back to the Jews around them. You're saying that, you accepted the way Shani said that it's a melech to do a Jew's own citizens. So the Rambam isn't saying anything about, like, one nation conquering another nation. He's not really explaining that in the Amdubo.
So you're saying, how does the Rambam work with the Gemara?
No, I'm just saying the Rambam is just meaning the Rambam might learn the Gemara like any of the other Mahalim
will do it. We'll get to the Rambam. We'll get to that. I'm going to flesh out the Rambam in a few minutes.
Okay. What makes someone a sultan?
Chori, you have to have a lot of blood on your hands.
Is it that
necessary condition?
Is it that meaning the leader of Dani's guerrilla?
You're saying it's Donnie himself.
I stick to votes.
The leader of Donnie's guerrilla group.
Except you don't know what happens behind the door.
Okay, but one possible nafkamina, and I accept the criticism that this could be very narrow, right? It could be, or the aura that it could be very narrow, that it's really only certain kinds of machamos, but not a general.
Is it talking about Mechama itself, the Heter Mechama, or the Heter Gizela the Tocha Mechama?
For the...
For this right.
So, yeah, so the...
Because the Gemara is the Hedron, it says,
yeah.
Going right now for the Kibos, and they have to be asked if that was like a get to him.
Right.
I think that's one way to go, is that it's not Heter to do it, even though it works.
Right, I think the Achsam Sofer says that.
Yeah, but he, in one place he says, and the other place he says that it works, but the other place he says that even Chatil it works.
Yeah.
Even in
the
Chatila, you can do it.
Hmm. Maybe it's Osir, the Labanei Kibush.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sounds like
that, but. Two Gemaras already, also.
There's some big shot. There's some.
For some Gemaras, it sounds a little different.
Yeah, I forgot who. Somebody said on this Gemara above a comma. So the Yom Shoshoma is similar Hara to the Ravid here. And somebody says. Maybe it's also maybe it's the Marit. Maybe it was the Ketos. Somebody here had the R that it can't be Bishas Dafka Bishas Mechama, because that's Pashat that you have a Heter to seize things Bishas Mechama. So you don't need Exeris Akas to tell you that Gezel Akam is also Bishas, that it's Mutter Bishas Mechama. But it means like after the Mechama is over, then it's still Mutter to seize things. That's what this Gemara, that's what the Chiddush of Kshim Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyadcha is. But he says because if gufo is mutter b'shas melchama, and then kol shekein mamona. I think that itself is a different kind of argument.
What
are the other Shlomo doesn't add, he just discusses melchama's rishus also. But then some of the Achronim say it can't be the chiddush of b'shas melchama, because b'shas melchama, of course, is mutter to seizes. It's not pashut either, but I just want to point out as a contrast, Noach on Tuesday raised the question, well, even if there are no kenyane gzela, maybe there's a shame gazel. So you could ask, even if it's mutter to see something b'shas melchama, even if you have full kenyanim, would there be like some shame avera that attaches to the chefetz? So I don't. There are no rishonim who clearly hold that there's a kenyan kibush melchama that gives you full bailus and yet holds that there's a shame iser. But there are rishonim who weigh in on the question. So the Ravya in Hilchos in Maseches Pesachim, top of page 10. So he says, why did Klal Yisrael, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, why did they have to buy tevua from the Tagrei Hagoyim Sheviu Mechutz Laaretz? Why didn't the Gemara say that they seized the tevua from the Aliyah Shel Amorim Kishakavshu Es Haaretz, and they made challah from that tevua? Because right, why there is Zoche B'Shas Kibush Melchama? Right, so why does the Gemara say that they bought from Tagrei Nachrim Sheheviyu Michutz Laaretz? Why didn't the Gemara just say that they made the challah out of the tevua that they seized through Kibush Melchama? So the rabbis tell Tamani Ma Hutzach Etarit Shekonim Tagrei Goyim Sheheviyu Michutz Laaretz Havel Etarit Smashem Matzim Yaliyah Shalom Marim Shavshu Es Haaretz. Notice he's not saying that it is gazel. He acknowledges that kibush melchama gives you more. Arminim b'yushalmi uvchala dematza gezula asur levarichala nichale shekanu mitagrei goyim v'yaf al gav dichsiv v'yachalto es kol ha'amim. The Gemara in Bava Kama, which implies that b'shas melchama, the Ravid quoted, gazel akim is mutter mitzvah shayni v'chol kama dematza l'adir l'shinuyeh b'hetera mehadri. So the Ravid, it's not clear. It sounds like he's endorsing that, like, a Ravid-esque position that what's seized in Melchama is mutter, because why else is he quoting V'chaltu es kol ha'amim and only say it's doma legezel? So it sounds like he's endorsing that kinyan Melchama, but yet he puts on the brakes and says you can't use it for a mitzvah because mitzvah shiny, and it'll be subject to Botzeh Baruch Neitz Hashem. So it does sound like he's endorsing kibush Melchama that is not considered gezel akum. Afal Pichain is saying it's not appropriate for Dvar Mitzvah.
How would they be allowed to use the grid if
they
have to make something that's not Chayim Chal?
I mean, they bought it from, why they buy it?
No, I'm saying if they were Kovish, and then they would have a problem with both say Avir and Yitz Hashem, so the only way for them to be able to use it would they'd have to not be able to use it for bread.
Right. That's right. What they made the challah was they
got it by line.
Right. He's saying why does the Gemara have to use it? Why did the Gemara say that they were calling it through kibush? Because that's not gezel. Because v'chalto es kol ha'amim. His answer is even though it's not gezel, it's still not appropriate for mitzvah. Saying it's a good raya that even if you hold a kibush mechama as a kinyan as matiring the gezel akum, it's still not going to be appropriate for a mitzvah.
In the opposite way, you might say that even if you hold that something is gezel, a regular gezel akum may not have a shame gezel kept, leading to things like mitzvah lanei. Because again, just like we were referring to before, that's also the Siva says that, meaning that it could be the gezel goy in general is a maitzadera, but it doesn't express itself in Peter Teshulman in the same way.
Right.
But there may also may not be the stigma of the shame gezel.
You're saying, but kibush melchama would be worse than...
No, it would be worse. I'm saying, you're pointing out that even if kibush melchama is not right. Gezel goy, they're still making the stigma, which is...
Right. And you're saying gezel goy itself may not create that stigma.
Even
right.
Classical.
Right. That's interesting.
Discussion.
Right. But you weren't suggesting that kibush melchama would be...
Worse
than
no.
Gezel.
No.
Okay. Good. Now, here we get to the Shitas HaRambam. Okay, so just remind us where we are. So we have this question, how is Kibush Mechama different from Gzela? We saw a few Mahachim, maybe it is Gzela, maybe it's Gzela Plus, maybe it's Aveda, maybe it's Agavon, say, Gamar or Makni. And we had the Rashba, who says an independent Kenyan. And we looked through some potential Nafgamina between dinim of kibush machama and dinim of kinyan exela. Now I want to go a little deeper into the Rashba's suggestion that kibush machama would be its own kind of a kinyan. And we could ask, well, even if it's own kind of kinyan, what legitimizes it, right? Or on what basis is this kinyan effective in giving the victor rights in the nechasim of the loser, of the nichbash? So the Rambam, in a few places, seems to suggest that kibush mechama is really grounded in dina de machus adina. And first of the Rambam, avadim perek tes halacha dalid, melech, this is the middle of page 10, melech akum sha'asa mechama behevi shviya umachra, v'cheinim hirsha l'chol mi sheyirtza sheyelech v'yignov me'uma sheyosa ima mechama sheyavi v'yimkar la'atzmo, v'cheinim ha'yudinav shekol mi sheloyitein mas imacher, o misha asa kach v'kacho lo yasa imacher, harei dinav din. So it sounds like the Rambam is talking here midin dina d'machus adina, right? The melech has the legislative power to make all these kinds of takanos. The Rambam in Melachim Dalet Aleph, the Rambam introduces Dina D'Malchusa Dina there. Oh, Melech has the right to levy taxes, he has the right to impose these fines, he has the right to enslave somebody who doesn't pay taxes. And then he says, V'dina b'chol elu hadvar mechiyote behen din, Dalet Aleph, shekol ha'amr parshas melech, melech zochebo. It's pretty clear the Rambam is speaking about Dina D'Malchusa Dina. The Rav says that explicitly. This is Dina D'Malchus Adina, and it's not just true for Malchi Yisrael, it's also true for Malchi Akum. It's like the Kol Amar Parshas Melech Melech Mutarbo, and the Melech has the right to legislate these kinds of things. In Perek Dalet Halachates, which the Chora is still in the context of Dina D'Malchus Adina, the Rambam says in the bottom of page 10, Kol Haruge Melech Mamon Lamelech, V'chein HaMamlocho Shekovish Hari Otsos HaMelochim Lamelech, V'shar Habizo Shebozin, Bozin v'noslan lefanav, who knows tamachta bro shemachtas tabiza cholkin osa kalanchei atzava biyachad im amma hayosh menal amachne. So I'm saying that the zchus in the biza seems to stem from the melech's right to establish dina d'malchusa. So this, I think, works very nicely with the Rambam in the tshuva, that the Rambam there said, what's going to determine whether it's gezela or dina or kibush mechama, whether the melech is endorsing it? Kamash malan that a sultan is a kind of a melech. I think this works out very nicely if Ram Lashitaso. What's significant for Kibush Mechama is that it's the Melech, because the Melech has the power of Dina D'Malchus Adina. Halacha Yud, top of page 11. Again, Kola Aret Shekovesh Harehi Shelo, V'nosem La'avada V'l'anshe HaMechama Kfima Sheyirtze, Meniach La'atzmo Kfima Sheyirtze, V'chol elu hadvarim dino din. So dino adin sounds like it's legislative power of dino d'machusa. Okay. So I think for the Rambam, we'll say there is a kibush, kinyan kibush machama. What gives the melech the right to be bozdeis the losers? Is there a better word for the captives? Right? So,
the vanquished.
The, okay.
Losers have a totally different meaning now.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, since when?
Since yesterday.
Right.
Or 2 days ago.
When our melech said that the losers. Not my melech. It's David's melech, not mine.
All a joke.
Dino din. So dino din sounds like it's the legislative power of the melech of dina machusa to seize the biza, and that's actually the melech who decides how the biza is going to be distributed amongst the am, because it's almost like it's his kenyan. I think the idea, so you're saying, let's take the case that the melech sponsors the raiding of the other country, right? He tells the thugs to cross the Straits of Gibraltar, right, and sees some people.
Okay.
So you're saying what gives those, so that's what gives those people the right to seize the, what makes the Kenyan Chal?
Right, meaning
I think once they bring him back, so the Melech, so I think the Rambam would say that what's happening there is these questions of, these kind of questions of ownership terminate with the kings. So yes, what happened is that this king decided to extend his Dina de Malchusa into the neighboring kingdom.
And there's like an underlying assumption between two kings that their Dina de Malchusa could sometimes...
So I don't know if you have to say there's like an underlying assumption between them.
From one king to another king, so what's going to be...
I think that I'm going to say there's no such thing as Gezel from one thing to another king, because by definition it's just a clash of Dina de Malchusas.
Because what gave it to him to begin with is Dina de Malchusa.
Right.
So you're just saying like that is the Hintel al Yudhoi
Right. These kind of questions terminate with the Malchus. You can't get a more fundamental kind of sovereignty in the Malchus. So if the Melech allows it, then he... I think that's what's happening there. No, you have your... What? Well, you have a second? Mordechai.
The, I guess I'll go first. maybe there's a different getter here with Melech in these areas. Malachos, the Rambam in Zelo Veda Perik Hay of Alfi Yudhah says, Men bar Murim and Melech Shemabeo Yose Gosan Aratzah, Shereis Kimu Ala Bene Usa Aretz, Vasamka Daitan, Shuarneyan, Vehemo Avadim.
Right. I mean, that's the question. How do you define a Melech? And so it seems like.
It sounds like if a Melech tells some Marines to go and invade another place and like take over and like take a car back or something, that his Mabea is not Yotze in that area.
Yeah, so I don't know if you have to interpret that as a geographical definition as opposed to a person's cultural definition. So Matbeo Yote, for the people who are doing the raid, his Dina de Malchusa applies, right? Because they're under his sovereignty. They use his currency. Not that, like, oh, in North Africa, they use this other currency.
So, I mean, certainly Klape, the people that he's being captured, would sound like he would be a Gazlan.
There's no question that there's a clash between the two Dina de Malchusas. Right, there's no question there. The question is, if his matbea is yotze for the people who are performing the raid, is that sufficient to justify Dina de Malchusa? Or do you need that, oh, this place, this geographical area is where matbea is yotze? Does Ram take a stance on the geographical area?
I mean, he says, the Osan Haratzos. I assume Osan Haratzos means the lands of his kingdom.
What if he's just, right, what if he's just asserting...
Right. It sounds like it's about that.
But I don't think that would determine the question of people who are coming from his land, Tachas Shiltono, and just like performing some looting operation overseas.
Say Klape, the people that are being captured or attacked.
You're saying that the only way to have sovereignty is for people to learn and accept the king.
I'm not saying anything, I'm just reading around them.
Anach.
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of getting to the point. I just don't understand what the mechanism that allows you to extend beyond your mouth.
Right, I think the Rambam would say that that's it's an unintelligible question, right? You're interested in the legitimacy of a sovereign's rule. That's like a left-wing 21st century question. Right? The Melech is the Melech, and if he's in control,
no,
then...
The
Rambam tells us this is the legitimacy. He says, Samcha Daitan...
But that's the question of how do you define how do you define who the Melech is? Right? What distinguishes the Melech from Dani's militia? That's the question there. Separate question, what makes the Melech who's Matbeo's Yotze legitimate? Right?
The fact that Sankadaita.
I don't think he's saying that that's what makes the Dina de Malchusa legitimate. I think he's just saying that's what connects them to his Dina Malchus. Because right, they're looking to him as their leader.
I mean, it's not a democracy. Right? That's what you're trying to say. Right?
Yeah.
Right. It's not a democracy, just that that's a description, but it can be a pragmatic description too. Lemaisa, he holds, he rules here, and therefore the people are, beholden to him, and they relate to him in a certain way as a result of the fact that he, it doesn't mean like they did it, free and clear, right?
It's
but then the question is, when he extends his sovereignty somewhere else, there's obviously a time gap until that happens, but that's the process of extending his sovereignty. And so
what about a conquest that doesn't involve extension of sovereignty? Like the naval piece before. Open seas.
Right. So I think there you could say that the persons
state-sponsored
are...
State-sponsored piracy?
Yeah.
That's
the case of the Rambam. The Rambam gives that case. He's Hirsha. What's he saying?
Privateers.
In Hirsha, the whole Misha Yirta, she yelech viigno mi umma she yose ima mocham, she yavi vim kalatmo. So I think that question of Matbeya is a question of how do you define certain people under his jurisdiction? Because they use his Matbeya. So if his people. Right.
Yeah, so that I don't have a problem. What I'm saying is that from Klape,
but he never accepted it.
Meaning it's Gezel for one person, the other person, it's they're just following.
It's not Gezel because it's at the state level. It's not Gezel because it's has the
point.
Right. It has the backing of the Melech. You can't talk about Gezel for the Melech. He makes the laws. He doesn't make the laws for the other country. What do you want? Like it's a United Nations kind of
right.
question.
Assuming,
there's no such thing as international
right.
law.
No, I'm not saying
until 60 years ago there's
right.
such thing.
Just saying, the Rambam says that if they weren't so done it, the Melech's Matbeya isn't Yotze in that.
I think that Rambam is actually very interesting for the European Union, where the Matbeya HaYotze is the EU, even though the sovereignty
yes,
is
that,
more.
Yes, these things are
actually very Ariel.
Which I think does more pure to say, which is very, very more pure to say for a second. The Lashon HaRambam in by Goyish of Lachem is V'chol mi sheyirtze sheyilech v'yigno v'umah.
Gneva.
When it comes to the same case in Lachem, so then there the Rambam says V'shar aviza shebozizin v'nosim lefanav. Not Gneva. Is that just at the most basic level, there seems to be a different mechanism in the way that the Melech Yisrael attains this rechosh, and the way that the Rambam describes the kinyan of the guy berchosh ha'acher. Meaning again, in the piracy case.
There are different cases, right? It's not the Malachim case is not a.
The Rambam doesn't have.
Not a piracy case, right?
Yisrael doesn't have a case of a state sponsored piracy. He doesn't. Now, why is that? So what could suggest different reasons for it? I'm not convinced, but I'm suggesting that the reason is because the Rambam is coming from a slightly different point in the two places. That in the Malachim, the Rambam is describing the distribution of Rechosh post-Mohama, how it should properly be distributed given the Melech's relationship to the visa. He's not describing why the Kinyan works, and the Lechor, we could fill that in several ways, but back in Avadim...
And you're saying that even for Halacha Yud? Kol aretz shekovetz harei yish shelo.
That I think is 100% true. I mean,
but that's not mitam dino din. The dino din is only going on the shara biza, the noda machta
berish. Yeah, we don't know. The Rambam's not mefurish on that. I'm saying. And if you agree with that gap, then the wash and nilchos avodim is fascinating because it's talking about a gneva. It describes the action that the goyim do as an act of gneva.
I don't know if the bottom line the Rambam would call it Gneva. Yelech v'yigno.
So why not just say Yelech v'yikach? It's the same word without the condemnation in terms of the Maisa Aviv. So I'm going to suggest based on that Taka in Ilchus Malachim by Goyim, the Maisa Aviv that the king sponsored is a Maisa Aviv of Gneva. But that's not our Indian, because as Yidden, our question is, can I now use that which was taken from the Umacharis? And to that, the Rambam has a very clear answer. Because Dina Nevachos Dina, so in this terrible, disgusting, depraved Uma that I live, this is called Heter, so then I'm allowed to use it because of Dina Nevachos Dina. The Maisa there by the pirate to the other guy, Gneva.
So you think by Yisrael it wouldn't be
I don't know, but the Rambam doesn't have such a case, which I wonder. That's another question like that.
But I took all of Halacha Tetz and Halacha Yud as being Mitam Dina de Machusa. All these halachas are Dina of Din. It sounds like it's his legislative power, and that's including the I understand. You're pointing out a nice idea.
I'm saying the same. Aren't you saying
that what we were saying before? The difference between the Kodesh and the people who.
I'm saying, but not.
But it's like the flip side.
But
in a way, it's the same thing.
But then the framework of international relations does not need to be built. You don't have to say that a king has any right at all. Taka, it's true. A Kodesh king cannot allow for piracy. And if he does that, he violates an Isser. Either he's listening, either the person himself is probably an Eva. That's all true. There is no Hector. There's not a liberal modern.
And, so according to you, why is Mamlacha Shekobes Ocho Samlachim Lamelech?
Which you mean in
Dalet Tess, yeah.
Which you're in Tess Dalet or
Dalet Tess?
No, Dalet Tess, that's within Kibush of Mechamis Yisrael, which we have to come.
What's Kibush of Mechamis Yisrael based on the right to loot the property?
That's nichol in any number of din that allow us to perform Muhammad, and maybe going are allowed to perform Muhammad. Point, they're not allowed to perform this piracy of Yerza Yelach Vignal.
I don't know,
if you're Kovish, the Aret, so then the same
go to kill them, so
whatever
they have to kill them and take the money off.
Yeah, exactly. It's only din Muhammad, there's no din. By Goyim, again, it is true, there is an international law, it is incorrect for a king to sponsor piracy. In fact, it's a Maisa Gneva and it's Lifnei Yivarim Gneva. That being said, Klapi the Yid who lives there, and then I think he was an Afghamino, which I wonder whether this is true. Let's say that originally occurred from my cousin Abu Dhani, who lives in Morocco. So he.
No one in Morocco has the name Abu Dhani.
That's for sure. But if Abu Dhani lived in Morocco, he was the one who was stolen from. And I go to visit him with my new, whatever it is I got, a watch. So
camel.
And I'm now in that malchus. I might be high to give it back. Because the din of that malchus is that the exiles that were taken to another country is returned.
Right.
The Gemamish have, they have this with. I think I don't see in these Rambams a
grounding of Kibush Mechama in Dina de Malchusa.
I don't see that, and then Mela, I don't see that, and on top of that, I don't see that there's an assumption that on the level of states there's Hector Gamal and Gneva. I mean, all right, you call it the Gneva.
What does the Rosh Kol say?
I think sounds more like again, if the Radbaz is right, that all the Dinim started from Alapatas are the Dinim of the world. So
even so, wouldn't you be able to say?
Aren't you agreeing
with that?
I'm saying there's not
a heter for that. Even so, even if it's a heter, but say, but in Hilchos, in Avodim, it's very clear. Meaning, nothing. The Ram doesn't describe the Melech itself as being allowed to, or Melechatim being allowed to do this. Piracy is—it's still also for a Melech to start piracy.
So your argument is more on Tesdalit.
Yeah, no, that's where I come. That's what's key to me. Once you're mapped on Tesdalit.
Why are you interested in establishing an Isser? I mean, I could acknowledge that there's an Isser.
Because once it's an Isser, then what you said before, meaning you attacked something.
It's an Isser, but it's not. It's not. Well,
meaning as long as it's an Isser, it means that kings don't have carte blanche to do.
No, maybe there's an Isser Shvichas Damim on a king. Right,
I mean, there's a Gneva as well, and the favor of the Gneva, that's important to me.
No,
I mean,
I'm saying Gneva, I'm saying, I can acknowledge that there's some Isser involved, but it won't be Gneva because the terminus for Gneva is Melachim. A Melach can't be a Ganav by definition because he's simply asserting his sovereignty over that.
That you don't see
it.
So why do you think that in Hilchos Avodim he doesn't mention that it's awesome?
What? Why is it? Why
well, you're pinning
the
Ram's
interest
in the word Yigno,
right?
But which could either be, a loaded term or not. I'm saying there's no. Wouldn't he?
It's such an easy analog. Yikach.
What is Gneva in the? If you want to be Mechadesh,
what would otherwise be Gneva?
If you want to be Mechadesh, that Gneva in the context of Kibush is not Gneva. So then a more flamboyant way to say that is that. That Hirsha Ligno is not. I'm saying, why? How come it's missing that it's awesome?
When you think of missing that tosser, I find missing that it's a hetter. When the Rambam usually says gneva, in 99%
of the time, it is outside of this. The chiddush is that outside of this context, it's gneva.
To me, that chiddush could. That's something to be said. When we're talking about Goyim again, the Rambam in terms of Goyim is assuming that Goyim are doing bad things. Throughout the Mishnah Torah, assumes that Goyim don't do Aracha. So once that's true, so then he's saying, Yivno, that's what they do. These Goyim are. Rishus Leish Lamelach afterwards as to what he does with the Biza, but not as. That's, the Melech has a right then, once it is Nivnov, to do what he wants with it.
Hirshas.
That's a good. The Melech was Marsha to him.
Right.
But not Hirshas. The Melech was Marsha to this other good, to be going. Not that the Melech has Hirshas. It's not Hirshas Toga la Melech.
I understand how you're reading the Melachim Perek Dalet. So the Rambam says that Kol Melech Shekovesh Oches Melachim la Melech.
Right, that's where Kibosh happens. I'm just disagreeing with piracy. Kibosh, I'm distinguishing Kibosh and piracy. Kibosh is takachal, and the Rambam does.
You just don't think that's mitam din and machusa. Is that what you're trying to say?
I could even say it's mitam din and machusa. You know, that's totally there.
Halacha dalad isn't piracy at all anyway.
Halacha dalad is the second thing is v'igno v'umah she also imo mochama.
Yeah, because in the context of a mochama. It gets to the question of, you know, like other things that are gratuitous. Because when you're in the context of the Muhammad in general, this is a big issue, as we know, whether it's Mahalas Asuros
or
the saying it's not piracy. That's not a case of piracy.
This is ancillary piracy, right? There's Muhammad going on and there's piracy on the side.
Or the point is that the context of the Muhammad doesn't reduce to piracy.
Then why have a double phrase? The
so
first
why
phrase
is
that. Also Muhammad, baby,
so why is it only in the context of Muhammad?
Because that's what I pointed out before, that the Rambam might, meaning the...
Let's say it wasn't Muhammad. Let's say the king made a decree that you can... You can on the seas and grab from wherever you want.
I don't know. I could suggest.
That's true. I'm just saying.
That'd be just as much of a kasha on my mahalach, though, because
it's just a question with me.
Especially in the reading of the Rambam and the Tshuva, because Rambam.
The question maybe the sultans. Maybe the sultans is not arbitrary, completely arbitrary either. Maybe the sultan is a way of, you know, that he's co-ray, you know. He's drawing a circle around this particular group. Not that it's just arbitrary.
He's declaring war on the Eden.
Not that.
The Jews.
I don't know.
Even in his own mouth, that's
right. This is something which, again, does the Rambam believe? Many Rishonim all confuses. Right. The Dina de Malchusa. Dina is Dina de Malchusa, not Dina de Malka. Not all Rishonim hold that. I'm not sure if the Rambam
walks. Yeah. That's what it sounds like from the Tshuva, right? If it wasn't the Melech endorsing it, it would just be Gneva.
But it still need to be the Torah's Melech, even if it's not the Torah's Malka. And the Rishonim would say, Dina Machusa, Dina Velo, Dina de Malka, say that if the Melech does something that's arbitrary, right, it doesn't make sense from, again, this is a Dina Machusa, I should broaden it, but I think it's relevant. If a Melech does something that is more arbitrary, or more personal, then that's not covered under the rubric of the Dina de Malchus. That still doesn't mean...
Not necessarily.
...that you can't... What?
No, it's fine for that.
What'd you ask?
Because isn't this clearly the arbitrary... Not necessarily.
No, not necessarily.
Outside pirating boats.
Not arbitrary. It could be a general chok.
I mean, mostly it would seem to be, but what I'm saying is that I'm not sure that the Rambam even holds that. In his din of Melech. Some are shown him hold Dina de Malchusa v'lo Dina. They make the. It doesn't say. There's no Gemara that says Dina de Malchusa v'lo Dina de Malchusa. We've shown him say it. They make that deal, and that's their way of explaining the stira between different sugyas about the scope of Dina de Malchusa Dina. So some of them say, Meiri loves this, some of the, you know, other Chachmei Provence really like this idea, and then it, you know, took off a lot later.
Ramban also, no?
I don't. What?
But Ramban also.
Ramban. correct? I don't think there's any evidence that the Rambam holds that way. There's no Gemara that says. So it could be that the Rambam thing, now that could be because the Rambam thinks that a melech is kind of a one-man show or the embodiment of the nation, and therefore there's no, there could be one.
A state can't steal.
He can't steal because his whims become, you know, are covered by his, you know, costume or his wardrobe or his, meaning his status. He's the embodiment of the nation, for better or for worse. So that becomes an important question, right? Is, you know, is there such a thing? For the Rishonim who think that there's a difference between Dina de Mahusa and Dina de Malka, then, you know, the line is going to be clearer than in these matters.
I agree, the Rambam doesn't hold that based on that, but based on the Red Baz's connection.
Right. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not here to ask.
I'm saying, even beyond the deal, just the phrase is totally missing. This category is not described. No, it's in the wrong middle.
Which category?
This category of a...
Of Shehirsha.
Of Shehirsha, Chom Shehirsha, 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 that doesn't even appear. Meaning, it's beyond, I'm not, it's, the Gneva is what is where I know what the Rambam sees, how the Rambam sees it.
But I was saying, the word Gneva is a point. There are two ways to read it. There's a way to read it, which is yours, which is really Osir. There's a way to read it, which is what I'm suggesting, which is, this would be Gneva in any other context, and that's the Hadesh. But you still have to contend with the fact that, why is it, why, I'm still not clear, why is it Uma Shiyo, this also may be a problem for you, but why is it Dafka Uma Shiyo Sayyid Uma Muhammad?
Why that phrase?
Why isn't it just that he has no right to do it, right, no matter to whom, right, but once it's done, so now the laws of the land de facto are, you're going to be prosecuted, you're not, how is this perceived, that's going to dictate how people relate to it, that's what you're suggesting. So why would that matter? If it's Imam al-Muhamma, or just said totally arbitrarily. Right.
So before I hear, but before responding to that, then you also have to.
That would be a bigger gazelle. There would be a bigger chiddush if that's the chiddush.
Why
say that you could be distributed?
By in Hilchos Melachim, God doesn't even have such a category.
He already said it in Hilchos Avadim.
I mean that's a lot to be said. Meaning, well, he doesn't have a category of a private ancillary piracy.
I'm just saying this isn't so private. It's ancillary, but it's not private. If it's
the homie shirt says private.
Why isn't that? I'm just saying, how can you be sure that isn't an extension of the framework of the Muhammad?
If that isn't,
he's saying we're
war,
I'm giving you license to gratuitous stealing to the people at war, either because they don't deserve protection, because we're at war with them, therefore they've lost the right for a humanity, let's say, based protection. Or maybe that's, you know, a way of, you know, of waging, that's an extension of the way to wage war against this particular people.
But I was saying, Rambam doesn't have that category. Isn't that ha'ar, you couldn't imagine a chaluk even going to Magabe that? To the extent that
I think you could
die for the Rambam
saying, you could, or maybe you could, as you say, there might be other reasons why he doesn't have it. And that is that, you know, the ideal of a Melech Yisrael is that he's not going to engage in that kind of, he's going to be a more moral force, and therefore you're not going to get that kind of nasty extension, either, you know, one way, or either the removal of protections that are humanistic in nature, or you're not going to get that kind of weapon of war waging. I'm just saying there could be many reasons.
I
think your diuk is interesting, both that what it says here, what it says, and the Gonev. I'm not dismissing it at all. I'm just saying there's another way to look at it. But either way, you have to contend with the second diuk, which is so if this is still in the framework of the Muhammad.
Right. So much hinges on the way you're setting it up. That runs to a deeper moral point. I mean, your assumption that it's like a 21st century idea that there should be some larger, some more basic rules.
I'm not worried about basic rules. No, I'm saying that.
How does one, I thought that was an answer.
The legality of who owns what terminates at Melachim. That's what I'm saying.
How could one Melach wage war against another Melach? When the United Nations, you know, it's been a
question.
You mean it more online with, let's say we were talking about.
I meant the notion. I meant everyone, what I meant is that there's no such thing as a melech doing geneva, if you take this view that it's dina de malka.
Right, so
because
that's to that.
No, definitely Rishonim disagree that dina de malchusa below dina de malka.
No, I'm saying not only that. I'm saying that to that, I thought that's why I thought geneva.
I'm just reading that as Hirsha. I'm reading that as Hirsha that he's allowing somebody to do it would otherwise be Geneva.
Well, no, I understand that. That's the other pre. My point is that the point is not like so. It is possible that the Rambam could sanction such an idea.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the UN comment is a totally different comment.
Right.
I thought, at least as I understood you, telling me what you meant. Right. I thought he was saying that. I thought Mordechai was asking like, so how does one? You know, if everybody has sovereignty,
right.
The other guy has sovereignty.
Who has ultimate sovereignty? I'm saying no one has ultimate
sovereignty.
It's the sovereignty of one Melech and the sovereignty of another.
Right is right or power, and in Malchus, an extension. I mean, when I'm there's always a time lag. Like I thought you were asking for Zaylon, Mabeya, and so on. I mean, there's always a time lag. But there's a recognition that there's a certain realpolitik that, you know, applies to Malachim in a. Maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe the UN is a good thing. I don't know. Well, not this present moment. So maybe if it was real, it would be really a good thing. And it would redefine like how that dynamic plays out. I think that. Am I right?
Yeah.
You
bring that level of kinyanim, like we were talking about once, that the melech has like some underlying kinyan.
So we'll talk about. We'll get that in a second. I didn't say that yet.
But you, historically, and there's two ways of being. Sequentially, you didn't. But historically, you did. But the point is. You would say that's what underlies such idea?
For the Rambam?
Yeah.
Lav Dafka.
Okay.
So I don't think you need to. I don't think you have to attribute the Melech's property rights in his malchus.
He's an individual. He's still an individual.
He's not an individual. I mean, he's the.
Or he's the state.
He's
the
crown, right? Yeah, he's the crown, and so
okay.
the way I see
even
it is that.
Dina de Mal, I don't think that people hold Dina de Malka. Dina. I'm just saying it that way because the ones who make the deal the other way. I don't think it's necessarily because they say the Gavra Melech. You know, he's like a kivyachal, and he can just do what he wants. I mean, he can. Well, nice. But I think it's because they say, oh, the line between the interests or the, you know, the state interests.
The way I thought of it is that dal mehacha constitution, dal mehacha some concept of objective laws. So a government, there's no such thing as a government stealing from itself, from its citizens, because the government defines what kinds of rights people have.
There's autonomy on that level.
Right. That's what I.
He's the embodiment of the government.
Right.
He doesn't have a personal.
His
personal is his.
That's very shame. That's right. That's a very. That's a.
All right. So says, let's look at that. So the advice.
This is the issue at hand in terms of not a melech vis-a-vis his own nation, vis-a-vis the blood.
Right, but I'm saying it's the same principle, because.
Is that the controversy? The controversy is if you want to assume the mechanism of the Kinyan Kibush is Dina de Malchus Dinos, and you're saying not only that Melech has rights vis-a-vis the state, but also vis-a-vis other states.
So it depends how you mean it. Do you mean that like he has rights, or you mean that
he asserts
his sovereignty into?
Have the right to to follow through. You're just saying.
Is that
post facto,
or is that the mechanism of Kinyan?
Right, so he's saying, oh, that's a secondary, that's a second level.
After
he did what he did was illegal, then there's a de facto reality.
So this is where it gets gray, right? So how.
Yeah, but in order to justify
you could argue the whole thing is question begging,
you
because.
I don't think it's that.
What?
Expanding.
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it has to be that way.
Right, and there's a time lag. But it's not that his rights are recognized by
saying
the
any Rishon who holds that
it's that he's extending or asserting.
Any Rishon that holds Kibush Mohammed Spitz Gzela is not going to hold that there's no Gzela for Malchus.
Given the counter pressure of someone from another
I'm saying he's doing with the embodiment of the nation that he represents, and their conflicting interests with some other nation. And consequently, it all happens simultaneously.
Right. So, let's examine this simultaneity over here, right? Because this whole thing is question begging in an important way, because we're saying that Kibush Mohammed is noveya from Dina de Malchusa, but what gives him the right to extend his Dina de Malchusa into something he doesn't have? That's not his Malchus. Right? That's the question, right?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Are you assuming that the extension of the Dina de Malchusa assumes an extension of territory?
that he's like claiming annexation.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it, because in the Hirsha, he's at war and he's marsha somebody to go and seize from them.
Right.
So it doesn't sound like he's claiming that's mine automatically.
So the extension of rights can go beyond what I think is my.
Yeah. Mom. Right. That's what it seems like. Yep. Okay. That's just Kri.
Just one quick follow-up.
Yeah.
Something that might be worth thinking about is, in light of this discussion about whether Malchus Yisrael has the right to, or any Malchus has the right to allow plundering, either Peshas Melchama or not Peshas Melchama, is what the Torah said about Amon and Moav. When the Torah said, don't, you're not allowed to fight them, and you Torah said, Minyanim. But Amon and Moav have certain limitations to Milchama. They are allowed to plunder, perhaps, but not allowed to attack them directly. So they're not allowed to wage war, not conquering them. And there's a Hezer. I don't know whether that's what the Torah is telling us, the Hezer, or whether that was just the regular Hezer that any Malchus has to go ahead and plunder a nation that's next to it.
Right.
You might want to consider
So I'm less interested in the heter, whether it's mutter for the malach to do so, whether it's like morally permissible or not, as much as I'm interested in if the malach goes ahead and does it, does that secure kinyanim in the chayfetz?
But
right?
Ariel was questioning whether that was mutter in the first place.
That's beside the question.
One more justified idea of malach was
that. Well,
and that question is relevant if you're trying to justify the mechanism.
Because you could argue that Melech does, even Ariel is admitting that the Melech could do things that are bona fidely usser, and afal pichein it generates dina de machusa.
Vis-a-vis is a malchus.
No, even vis-a-vis another malchus, right?
Well, I was saying, limited. Once you make this clear, then the medina.
Now, what about the Melech who's marsha somebody to be gonev from another malchus?
Yeah, in his own medina.
Now that it's back.
Now that's by him, in his own medina, he sets the rules.
But maybe it didn't get back legally.
What?
How to get back legally? How to get back legally?
The mechanism is other than.
It's not the Melech to decide.
Understood. Whatever the kinyan kibush is, let's say it's Gezel.
I'm saying it's Gezel.
That created a
kinyan.
But now that it's a kinyan, now the question is how to divvy it up within the malchus and the malchus kicks in. That doesn't justify the original kinyan because that's an overextension of his authority.
So I don't see any Rishonim who speak about it. Right. I don't see Rishonim will speak about it that way. But
yeah.
All right. So the Radvaz, at least I understand the Radvaz. Radvaz al Rambam was interpreting these Rambams to be Din Dina de Machusa. It sounds that way from the Rambam saying Dino Din. So it seemed to suggest that Kibush Melchama is Novea from Dina de Machusa. And everyone's pointing out that there are some circularities here. So Radvaz has an interesting tshuva where one of these questions came up, and I think the tshuva itself brings out just how problematic the principle is. Let's take a look on page 11 for a few minutes. So it was that she'ela yorena morat tzedek le'inyana didina re'uven hayelo reshus b'chanus b'havas b'ribis b'ir achas asher tachas memsheles melech echad. So Reuven had a money lending business in the shtetl. V'liyamim avonos garmu v'girshu ha'yehudim me'ir ha'hi. V'girshu hamalvim b'socha ha'pecha. So the guy, the money lender, was kicked out. V'hi ayom ninru rishayim min ha'aretz ahi v'kivshu ha'apifior. Right, so the Pope back then, I don't think today's Pope would conquer any land. But the Pope then conquered the land. V'achar zeh kivshu duchas asher hayom moshel al ha'ir ahi. V'hirshu ha'yehudim lader b'machuso. V'bo v'daru zeh kamashanim. V'hine hayom hirshu ha'dukas anal l'shimon Lahalvus bechanos shnayim v'shlosha shanim, after Shimon started lending money, Shnayim v'shlosha shanim achar shehilva shim hanal. Bar Uven Omer limish v'rabachora, v'toyin shehichzek mikodem. So they asked the Radvaz, what does he think? So Reuven had a money lending business in town. The town was nichbash, he was kicked out. And now the new melech put in Shimon as the money lender. Tshuva adinim Shimon, dekayim ladinim machus adina. Vafilu beiso mamish sheyarash me'aviv shemachra hamelech l'shimon, kana Shimon. Dechok hamelochim hu. כשלוחתם המדינה בכוח המלחמה, כל הבתים והסודות והכרמים הם שלו.